My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now. WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dan and Mary Udell of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media on the proposed transition into the new jail facility being discussed by Greene County officials. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said October 8th, the State Commission of Corrections, and I quote, wants the transition team of corrections officers to be on site during the construction, end quote. The team would be housed in a trailer at the cost of $28,000 a year, Groden said. The transition team is made up of six officers, and they are responsible for rewriting the jail operational protocols, which necessitates full access to the facility. Groden said, and I quote, all the procedures of the old jail, that all gets chucked out the window, end quote. All new protocols set by the transition team must be approved by the Commission of Corrections. Despite objections raised by legislators about renting the trailer, Groden said it will arrive in November. Groden said, and I quote, the substantial completion date for the jail is January 2021, end quote, and jail personnel can then begin to move into the building. Those detained by the county will be housed at the new facility beginning in July 2021. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Trafton reports in Columbia Green Media that a 14-year-old Greenville High School student faces a probation hearing after allegedly threatening other students on a school bus October 8th. Quote, as he reached their seating when getting on at the high school in the afternoon, he stated, quote, I am going to kill all of you little kids one day, unquote, said Amy Richards, the mother of a 10-year-old student who was on the bus. She kept her child out of school the next day because of the incident and is complaining about the situation. Greenville students from kindergarten to 12th grade share the same buses, largely without monitors. Quote, we can't have a full-time mental health counselor from Greene County, but we can repave the elementary school parking lot, get a new track, and put in a new playground, unquote, Richard said. Quote, we have a planning team for students with high intelligence. Why not have a planning team for bullying or children with mental health issues, unquote. Greenville School District Superintendent Tammy J. Sutherland said, quote, members of the administrative team called the reporting families as soon as they were made aware of the concerns. The district leadership team worked with our school resource officer and other representatives from the Greene County Sheriff's Office to make certain that the investigation was initiated as quickly and thoroughly as possible. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Kayla Harris is reporting for the Times Union. Legislation has been introduced in Albany to require all New York schools to report student body immunization rates to the State Department of Health. The department would monitor trends in the data and create a searchable public database. State Senator Brad Holyman, a Manhattan Democrat and a sponsor of the bill, said, and I quote, parents have a right to know whether their child's fellow students are up to date on all their required vaccines, end quote. Holyman was also a sponsor of the legislation that made New York the fifth state in the country to ban religious exemptions for vaccine requirements for school-aged children. The pending bill stipulates that the health department would track trends in immunization data, including exemptions over time and areas where individuals might be more vulnerable to diseases. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Kenneth C. Crow II and Brendan J. Lyons report for the Times Union in Albany that Republican candidate Thomas E. Rail dropped out of the Troy mayoral race this week. After a meeting with Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin and the county's operations director Richard Christ, who reportedly pressured him to give up his campaign. The story says McLaughlin and Christ allegedly threatened Rail's future political aspirations and his employment as a state Senate Republican aide. McLaughlin was a state assembly person before resigning weeks after being sanctioned in 2017 for sexually harassing a female legislative aide. Christ has consulted with Republicans for many years and was placed on unpaid leave from March to August amid an FBI probe. Rial declined to comment on the meeting, but his name remains on the Republican and conservative lines and absentee ballots in the November election. That leaves two Democrats in the election, Mayor Patrick Madden and Rodney Wilshire, who lost a primary to Madden earlier in the year. Republicans are backing him, though. Wilshire previously lost to Madden by 200 votes in the primary and by 25 votes in 2015. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union.
Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson Common Council will vote next week on whether to authorize a settlement agreement with the federal government that would establish a timeline for the city to comply with the provisions of the Americans with Disability Act. The ADA became law in 1990 and prohibits discrimination based on disability. A complaint was filed by three city residents alleging a lack of accommodations in public spaces, arguing the city's sidewalks are inaccessible, and the entrances to City Hall, Promenade Hill Park, and other locations are also inaccessible. Following an investigation, the city was found to be out of compliance in several categories. Under the settlement agreement, the mayor must appoint an ADA compliance officer within 30 days. Common Council President Thomas DiPietro said October 7th, the compliance officer will deal with complaints and determine how best to address them. The Common Council will next meet at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, October 15th at City Hall. Editors note, DiPietro is a WGXE volunteer programmer. You can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
John W. Berry reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that Giancarlo Laverius is the latest Hudson Valley County legislator to be criticized for comments and actions regarding women. Republican and Democratic leaders in the Dutchess County Legislature are saying Laverius should resign from his position representing Poughkeepsie in the legislature because of a YouTube video in which he says he once hit a woman. The video, recorded earlier this year, surfaced this week, days after Laverius was criticized for vulgar comments he posted on Facebook. County legislator and minority leader Hannah Black criticized her fellow Democrat, saying, quote, a video surfaced late today showing legislator Laverius admitting to hitting his girlfriend. Domestic violence is unacceptable. We take this very seriously and call for legislator Laverius' resignation, unquote. Republican Dutchess County legislator chairperson A. Greg Pulver agreed, quote, I don't know how he could ever defend this. I find it appalling, unquote, he said. Laverius did not return messages from the Journal with his side of the story before its deadline. But Dutchess County Democratic Committee Chairperson Elisa Sumner said she spoke to him, and he claimed the video was scripted. About the vulgar comments on Facebook, he explained to News 12, quote, these are things you did as a youth, right? Unquote. Dutchess County legislator Joel Tyner resigned in January after accusations of sexual harassment, while Dutchess County legislator Joe Incoronato was censured in 2018 because of 2016 and 2018 comments in which he said women are more susceptible to sexual assaults under the influence of alcohol or drugs. This week, across the river, Ulster County legislator Hector Rodriguez refused to resign after an independent investigator found that sexual harassment allegations against the New Paltz Democrat were, quote, credible, unquote, and in violation of county policy. Laverius is up for re-election November 5th against Margaret Kakish. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Heather Bellow is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle. An adjunct professor employed by Bard College at Simmons Rock resigned October 8th, citing the mishandling of a reported attack on a student of color last month as her reason. Julia Kirst, who taught in the language department, said administrators have failed to confront racism at the Great Barrington campus, and she said there is a dismissive attitude in general toward the student's report of being knocked unconscious and dragged into the woods on campus. Parents of some students have called the assault a hoax, Chris said. The 18-year-old woman reported the assault to campus security just after 2 p.m. on September 27th. The incident followed reports of the N-word scrawled on a chalkboard and a SWAT sticker was found etched into a bathroom stall. Local and state police, as well as Berkshire District Attorney's Office, are investigating the attack and whether it was a hate crime. The U.S. Attorney's Office also has been notified. The school administration this week announced its plan to hire an independent investigator to review the matter, but Vice Provost Susan Lyon said she could not speak to specifics, and I quote, out of respect for the survivor of the open investigation, end quote. The school is currently on a scheduled fall semester break. And you can read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle.
The Altamont Enterprise reports that Rensselaerville officials are crafting the town's first ever solar energy law and held a public meeting October 1st to hear comments. Questions were raised about whether solar panels will still be allowed on homes, they will, and about rules requiring barbed wire fences around solar farms, low glare panels, and how much solar power will be enough for Rensselaerville. Quote, we need regulation, however, we cannot overregulate, unquote, said Jason Rolfe, the Southern Albany County Town's deputy supervisor. Ralph said he's, quote, not sure at this point if we will hold another meeting or if we will simply make some changes and present it to the board. It will be up to the committee in regards to how to proceed, unquote. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, rain is likely mainly after 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 57 degrees. Thursday night, rain is likely mainly before 7 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 46. And on Friday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 57 degrees. Friday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low of around 48. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXE program schedule during the coming week. On Friday, October 11th, from 2 to 5 p.m., the City of Hudson Board of Estimate and Apportionment will live stream its budget workshop, which will be a review session. The mayor, city treasurer, and president of the Hudson Common Council make up the Board of Estimate and Apportionment. You can tune in by going to WGXC.org, click on Listen, then scroll through the drop-down player to find the dedicated web stream. On Friday, October 11th, from 7 to 8 p.m., tune in for a special remote broadcast of Sound Art Revisited, a discussion with author and musician Alan Licht, with a panel featuring composer and sound artist Anaya Lockwood, Wave Farm Executive Director Galen Joseph Hunter, Wave Farm Artist-in-Residence Grant Smith, and sound artist and educator Zach Poff. The event, which takes place at Time and Space Limited in Hudson, will be broadcast live on WGXC 90.7 FM and streamed live online at wavefarm.org/listen. On Friday, October 11th, from 9 to 11 p.m., WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Performing will be Mother Fletcher with an eclectic and unique mix of ska, rock, and reggae. Tune in to 90.7 FM to hear it on the air, or go to WGXC.org, click on Listen at the top of the page, and scroll down to find the live web stream. See theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Saturday, October 12th, starting at 10 p.m., WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. In the first of a series of community dance parties called Pan-African Jam, DJ Neva of WGXC's Music for the Masses brings Felebration, a worldwide birthday party for Fela Anikolapo Kuti, to Catskill, with a night of Afrobeat from all corners of the globe. The event will feature a jam session with local percussionists. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org after 10 p.m. Click on Listen at the top of the page and scroll down to find the live web stream. The show will also air on 90.7 FM after midnight. See theavalonlounge.com for more information. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wave Farm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a broadcast partner with WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
On Thursday, October 10th, a collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil, registration is limited at programs@hudsonarealibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. Congressperson Antonio Delgado will be interviewed by K.T. Tobin, Associate Director of the Benjamin Center at the State University of New York at New Paltz, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. The focus of this public conversation will be on Congressperson Delgado's early experience in Congress and his priorities going forward as he represents and serves constituents in his 11-county district. There will be time for questions from the audience. Undocumented Immigrants, Struggles in Our Time, Documentary and Discussion, sponsored by the Mountaintop Immigrant Support Network and held at the Mountaintop Library in Tannersville from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. On Friday, October 11th, the last day to register in person for the general election. If registering by mail, the application must be postmarked by October 11th and received by the Board of Elections no later than October 16th. Also, deadline for a change of address for the general election. The Greene County Office Building is located at 411 Main Street, Catskill, and the Columbia County Office Building is at 401 State Street in Hudson. The City of Hudson Board of Estimate and Apportionment Budget Workshop Review Session will be held at Hudson City Hall from 2:30 to 5 p.m. Ever wonder why our Catskill terrain looks so different from one area to another? Join local scientists and authors Robert and Johanna Titus for The Catskills in the Ice Age, a lesson in reading the Catskill landscape. The Titus's have made the study of the Catskill landscape their work for 30 years at the Mountaintop Historical Society on Route 23A in Palinville at 7 p.m. A TSL Bookspace event. Musician and artist Alan Licht visits Time and Space Limited on Columbia Street in Hudson to discuss the new edition of his work, Sound Art Revisited. Licht will be joined in conversation by composer and sound artist Anya Lockwood, Wayfarm artist-in-residence Grant Smith, sound artist and educator Zach Poff, and Wayfarm executive director Galen Joseph Hunter at 7 p.m. This event is being broadcast live on WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Upper Hudson Valley and streamed live online on Wayfarm Radio. Panel and broadcast at 7 p.m., ticketed supper at 6:15.
Listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Audrey Berman of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
My boy's being sus. He was shady enough, but now he's just a shadow. My boy loves his friends like I love my split ends, and by that I mean he cuts them off. He just sounds like he's trying to be his father.
Who are you?
My boy's an ugly crier, but he's such a pretty liar. And by that I mean, he said he'd change.
Trip over a knife.
My boy, my boy, my boy. Don't love me like you promised. My boy, my boy, my boy. He ain't a man, sure as hell ain't honest. You want me to be yours, well then you got to be mine. And if you want to be yours, well then you gotta be mine. And if you want a good girl, then goodbye.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
And I'm Lena. I'm also from Hudson, and I go to school at MC Smith.
And we're here every week talking about books with our good friend Amelia, who is not here today.
Yeah.
We miss you, Amelia.
Yeah, we miss you.
And that's what we're going to do today, talk about some books.
Yeah.
And before we got on the air, we were talking about the Hudson Reads program. Can you let our listeners who may not know about the Hudson Reads program know what it is?
Our Hudson Reads program at MC Smith is where you get to eat while at recess and lunch while reading books. And you will have a lot of fun if you join. And maybe you might be more open to reading books.
Cool.
Yeah.
How long have you done the program?
I've done the program for about 3 years.
Do you have a favorite book that you've read during the program?
No.
What are you currently reading?
We are currently reading Scary Tales, Bloody Mary.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Spooky. Just in time for Halloween, huh?
Yeah, but I didn't vote for this book.
Not your favorite?
Yeah. Last year we had to finish off with spiders, and I hate spiders. At least it's better than that, and also Scary Tales isn't even scary unless you're in the bathroom reading it.
Yeah, just don't say her name, right?
Yeah. Then 3 times, I think.
But when I was a kid, I used to have friends that would say it. You're like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Sometimes friends aren't very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, what else would you like to talk about today?
Books, because that's what we're supposed to do.
Woo.
Yeah.
Do you have a book you want to talk about?
I want you to go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Well, I have had a rough reading week, although I read a lot of picture books this week because I love picture books.
Oh.
But I was a little under the weather this week, and so I didn't get in all of my quality reading time that I would like. So I thought today I could talk about some of my favorite scary stories, since it is the month leading up to Halloween.
Yeah.
It's a good time to read some scary books. So I have a handful here that I could talk about. One of them is not super scary, but it's got some creepy elements, so it's a good, like, entry scary story for people. Have you ever read Doll Bones by Holly Black?
No.
It's really good. I love Holly Black. She's a great author. And I'll read you a little description for it. Zach, Poppy, and Alice have been friends forever, and for almost as long, they've been playing one continuous, ever-changing game of pirates and thieves, mermaids and warriors. Ruling over all is the Great Queen, a bone china doll, cursing those who displease her. But they are in middle school now. Zach's father pushes him to give up make-believe, and Zach quits the game. Their friendship might be over, until Poppy declares she's been having dreams about the queen and the ghost of a girl who will not rest until the bone china doll is buried in her empty grave. Zach, Alice, and Poppy set off on one last adventure to lay the queen's ghost to rest, but nothing goes according to plan, and as their adventure turns into an epic journey, creepy things begin to happen. Is the doll just a doll or something more sinister? And if there really is a ghost, will it let them go now that it has them in its clutches?
Ooh.
So I feel like this is a really good middle grade creepy tale where it's got some scary moments, but I think it's one of those things that if you're not quite ready to dive into like a really creepy story,
yeah,
it's a good little entry way.
Okay.
And it's a fun adventure with friends. Scary noises in the mic. There's another one that I read this past year, which is called Small Spaces by Katherine Arden. And the main character is 11-year-old Ollie, who's a book lover. And one day, Ollie happens upon a crazed woman at the river who's threatening to throw a book into the water. And Ollie is like, save the books, and like grabs the book from the water and runs away. And she begins to read the book, and there's this chilling, scary story in it about a girl named Beth.
Mm.
The two brothers who both loved her and a peculiar deal made with the smiling man.
Ooh.
A sinister specter who grants your most tightly held wish, but only for the ultimate price. So that's sort of the setup. And then her school goes on a school trip to Smoky Hollow, which is a local farm. And as they're leaving, their bus breaks down, and the teachers leave the bus to go back to the farm to get help. And then the strange bus driver says, best get moving. At nightfall, they'll come for the rest of you. Dun, dun,
dun. Oh, no.
And then they have to go on a little adventure to try to survive the night.
Is it called Small Specks?
It's called Small Spaces.
Oh.
And there are three of them that head out into the woods, which is bordered by a field of scarecrows that seem to be watching them. And the bus driver has one final piece of advice for them, which is avoid large places, keep to small. Hence, Small Spaces.
Okay. Why avoid big spaces?
You have to read to find out. And another one. This book I read a long time ago, and it stuck with me. And I think it's probably the most scared I've ever been of a book. But I don't know if it was just something about the time when I read it, because I was traveling, so I was in unfamiliar places. So it was easy to picture, like, creepy things Ooh. Popping out at you.
Oh, that's bad.
But it's called Long Lincoln. It's by Lindsay Barraclough. And it's about Cora and her young sister, Mimi, who are sent to stay with their old aunt in an isolated village called Byers Gurdon. And their Aunt Ida is pretty icy. She's not very warm or welcoming to them. Oh. She doesn't seem to really want them to be there.
Okay.
And she's very rigid about the rules.
Wolves?
The rules.
Oh.
And the girls want to go home, but they have to stay. Then they meet two other boys from the village, Roger and Peter. And together they uncover the truth about the town and the home that they live in and the creepy figure known as Long Lincoln, who haunts the home and the town.
Oh my God.
He's very creepy.
Oh my God. Well, we're inside and I hear the wind.
Must be a window open or something.
Yeah, but there aren't any windows.
This must be a haunted studio.
Yeah.
Are you scared, Lena?
Yeah, I'm getting so scared.
Make sure to stay in a small space.
Oh, is this a small space?
I mean, it is the smaller of the two studios, so.
You're right.
We're probably safer than whoever's next door. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lynn.
So I'll talk about two more scary, scary stories. And they're both graphic novels, which I know you
Yay.
Like. One is called Baba Yaga's Assistant, and it is based on the folktale of Baba Yaga. But in this book, which is by Marika Mekula, and it's illustrated by Emily Carroll, who's one of my favorites, Baba Yaga is looking for an assistant. Assistant wanted, ASAP, must have skills in hauling, obeying orders, cooking, and cleaning. Magical talent, a bonus. Must be good with heights. Enter Baba Yaga's house to apply. I'm going to read the description for you. Most children think twice before braving a haunted wood filled with terrifying beasties to match wits with a witch, but not Masha. Her beloved grandma taught her many things, that stories are useful, that magic is fickle, and that nothing is too difficult or too dirty to clean. The fearsome witch of folklore needs an assistant, and Masha needs an adventure. She may be clever enough to enter Baba Yaga's house on chicken legs, but within its walls, deceit is the rule. To earn her place, Masha must pass a series of tests, outfox a territorial bear, and make dinner for her host. No easy task with children on the menu. So that's a really fun one.
Yeah.
It's only light on the scary, too.
Yeah.
But scarier.
Wait, did the winds stop? Oh, I'm so scared.
But are you too scared to read Through the Woods by Emily Carroll?
What's Through the Woods?
Through the Woods is one of my favorite graphic novel books. It's Emily Carroll, who was the illustrator for Baba Yaga's Assistant, but this one she writes and illustrates.
Ooh.
And it is a series of five spine-tingling stories that follow journeys into and possibly out of the woods. hence why it's called Through the Woods. And it's a short story collection that's told in graphic novel format. And the artwork is really beautiful and creepy. It's all black and white and red. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the red adds this kind of creepy element to it.
Yeah.
And all of the stories are really good and really creepy and well told.
Oh.
So it's a nice little Halloween read.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we always have Alvin Schwartz's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah.
Perennial favorite of Bound by Books with its creepy pictures and creepy stories.
Yeah. For some reason, that reminds me of when we went to ShopRite and someone was probably, like, wearing gloves. And so, basically, they had red filling on their hands. And, like, you know the effect in, like, a scary movie where there's going to be a bloody hand? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they had a bloody hand on a cake and it said, Happy Halloween!
It's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite scary story?
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you the scary story?
Sure.
So, there was a girl named Eve. She was very obedient. And there was one very, very strict rule in her house. Don't ever go down the basement. And
she's going to go in the basement, isn't she?
Yep. So, one day, she was playing with her friends. And her older brother and sister was there. Marcus and Leah. So, their ball went down the stairs and they said, I'm not going to get the ball. Hey, Eve, can you go get the ball? And then she said, no, I'm not going down the basement. And then they're like, either spend 5 minutes in there or go get the ball. And she's like, I'm not getting the ball. And they said, at least we'll come with you to go get the ball. And she was so gullible that she said yes. She went down, but little did she know, they weren't following. She went down a few steps, so it was good, so they went and slammed it on her head, and they slammed it down. And they said, either find the ball or stay down there for 5 minutes. And she said, okay. She was trying to find the ball since she was very scared, and she couldn't find it. So she had to stay down there for 5 minutes. And she was very, very scared. So she tried to stay in the light. But she saw something shining. And she went towards it. And there was a mirror. But she didn't pay attention. And little did she know, her reflection was going to grab her. She didn't pay attention. And she started touching it. Then her reflection grabbed her arm and then threw her in the mirror realm. And did she know that her reflection, as soon as it got out of the mirror realm, it started acting the same, except it kind of knew what happened and it was a little bit more mischievous. So 5 minutes was up already and they're like, was it really that bad down there? And then she said, I don't know, you should go check it out for yourselves. The point of the story is that it revolves around the mirror realm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Creepy, creepy.
Yeah.
I knew she shouldn't go down in the basement.
Yeah.
And I knew she was going to.
Yeah.
So predictable.
Yeah.
And disappointing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah.
I wonder if the other two get pulled into the mirror realm.
I'm going to guess yes, because my sister told me that story, and I thought, hey, I want to add on to it. So here's going to be my ending if they go into the basement. So they go into the basement, and they also see the light, and they all go towards it. But first goes Marcus and Leah, and they get pulled into the mirror realm. But one person named Stacy, she doesn't go near the mirror because she's very scared that she'll get pulled into the mirror. And then she gets pulled into this darkness right next to her. And then she falls into it. She goes to another land And then she turns into a good witch.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And she
Stacy the good witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun idea to continue stories that leave you in that little cliffhanger space.
Yeah.
So I think you had a story you wanted to talk about today that or a book that you've read.
Yeah.
That's not scary.
Yeah.
Unless you're scared of sisters.
No.
Terrifying.
No, it's not really that terrifying.
I know, I'm kidding. My sister is not scary.
Yeah.
She has scared me in my life.
Yeah. I have been scared by my sister many times and I've cried a lot because of that.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, Sisters revolves around Reina Teljesmere and her sister Amra, and a little bit by Will and her mom. So, they're going on a road trip. Their father can't come with them because they have work, but he has a new car, and so they start packing up after dinner, but their mom told them to go put their dishes in the sink, and Amra's like, I think you'd be happier if you were in Dad's car because you know the incident. And she started screaming, why'd I ever ask for a sister? And it went to a flashback. And she was little, and she was playing with her dolls, and she said, I wish I had someone to play with. Then she went down the stairs with a light bulb on top of her head, and she said, Mom, Dad, can I have a sister? Mm-hmm. And then they went to Santa Claus. Sister came up, and then their parents asked them what she wanted for her birthday, and she said sister to literally almost everything, and they're in the bathroom, and she said, sister! And then she started grabbing one of her dollies, and she held it up, and she started dancing and singing, sister, sister, sister! And you'll probably have to find out more, because I just don't want to explain almost the whole book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's by Reina Telgemeier, who also wrote Smile, which we also both love, which focuses on Reina's dental trauma throughout her life.
Sisters is based off of their vacation, how they got there, what their problems were, and how they got back.
I thought it was cool how they did, like, there was this framework of the road trip.
Yeah.
So there was, like, this one space of time, but then they had all those flashbacks, like what you talked about.
The flashbacks are, like, yellow, and they have a lot of flashbacks, but it's mostly the present, but I liked the flashbacks and the present.
Did you feel like you could relate to it at all? As someone who has a sister?
Because I have a big brother and a big sister. I'm that petty little sister.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. They have, I could relate a lot to certain scenarios that happen with them.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have a closer relationship with my sister than she did with hers, or maybe that she does have with hers currently.
Yeah.
But even though my sister and I got along a lot more than I think she and her sister did and had more in common, there's still, like, those little nagging moments and, like, family adventures that I could relate to.
No, there were lots of moments that I could relate to.
And it's a fun graphic novel.
Yeah.
Have you read Guts yet? That's her next
one. No, I haven't. Me either.
So Guts is the third autobiographical graphic novel from Reina Telgemeier.
So this is kind of like a series, but I don't know if drama is going to be like kind of like part of the series-ish.
Well, I think drama is inspired by her childhood, but not based on her childhood. Oh. So it's fictional characters, but it was inspired by her love of theater as a kid.
Oh, really?
And then she also wrote Ghosts, which I think you read.
Oh, yeah, I've read that
before. Which is not, also not autobiographical. And then she's done the Babysitter Club series in graphic novels.
Yeah, I know the Babysitter Club series is just like a series, but I don't know about like Smile, drama, sisters, but like maybe. I don't know about Ghosts, but maybe it is.
Yeah, I don't know if there'll be a series for those. I think Smile, Sisters, and Guts are all connected. I think she would probably consider those a series, even though you could read any Well, I don't know about the third one. But you could read Smile or Sisters without reading the other and not be lost.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
You can dive in.
Are we going to do poems?
Would you like to do poems?
Do you want to make up some poems?
Want to have a poem off?
Yeah.
So you do a line and then I do a line?
And
everything has to rhyme.
Yeah. Wait, why does it have to rhyme? Because some poems don't rhyme.
Okay, fine. We'll do a non-rhyming poem.
And then one that does rhyme.
Okay. I'm not sure how good I'll be at this poem writing. Spur of the moment. You have to start.
Okay.
I'm not a poet.
Wait. Do poems start with "Once upon a time"?
They can.
I don't want to do
That's how you want to start?
Okay. So, yeah. Wait, no. Okay. So, there was a girl named Emily.
Who liked to go by her nickname, Lena.
And she loved to read
poems on the radio.
Yes, but there was something sad
that happened one day when she
was in the woods
writing poems on leaves.
She found
a crying
wolf cub.
His cries terrified her.
But he was not terrified of her.
And crawled onto her lap.
She began to calm down.
And read the wolf a poem.
And as she read the wolf a poem,
his cries faded.
Yes, and someone came up to her.
This poem is called Cliffhanger.
Oh.
Because I don't know where to go from there.
So,
Cliffhanger by Emily and Lena.
Yeah, we'll continue Cliffhanger next time.
Or you can finish the cliffhanger all on your own. So we're just about out of time for today.
Yeah.
But we want to wish everyone a wonderful week filled with quality reading time.
Yeah.
Happy reading.
Bye. It's not for me. You.
that they get what they want to him. Tell them. Tell them that they get what they want to him. Tell them. Tell them that they get what they want to him. Tell them. Tell them that they get what they want to him. Till then.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. The Poughkeepsie Journal is reporting experts are saying 2019 could be a bumper year for stink bugs. According to the National Pet Management Association, the influx this fall is likely due to some expected extreme fluctuations in temperature and precipitation. Jim Fredericks, chief entomologist for the NPMA, said, and I quote, "With most of the country still drying out from a hot, soggy summer, extreme late-season winter conditions predicted will have rodents and cockroaches fleeing indoors in record numbers," end quote. And Cornell University entomologist Peter J. Jentz, the resident Hudson Valley stink bug expert, said recent dry conditions have kept natural stink bug predators at bay. The stink bug has a five-sided shield-shaped body and secretes a foul-smelling substance when squashed, frightened, or disturbed. They are also serious pests, and they feed on many different plants, including fruits, vegetables, ornamentals, and legumes. They also feed on weeds and tree leaves and are relatively immune to insecticides. An invasive species from Asia, stink bugs are active in March and April and are very active in September and October when they are trying to gain access to shelter. Once inside, they head toward the attic and may settle in stacks of newspapers or piles of cloth. To keep them outside, residents are advised to seal and cork all cracks, repair any broken screens, and to remove wall and window air conditioners. Weather stripping around doors and windows may help as well. Read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. David Lombardo is reporting for Capital Confidential. Billy Esten, the longtime leader of the Alliance for Quality Education, a left-leaning labor-linked education advocacy group, is stepping down. Esten served as executive director of the group since 2005, building it into a powerful statewide advocate on behalf of education equity. The organization's focus in Albany is mainly around the effort to secure state aid, but it also addresses racial and social justice issues. Esten will be replaced in January by the group's legislative director, Jasmine Gripper. Gripper is a former charter school teacher and previously worked with Organizing for America. She joined the Alliance in 2013 as a temporary statewide organizer. Alliance co-vice board chair Natasha Capers said in a statement, and I quote, "The future has so much in store for AQE with Jasmine Gripper at the helm, and with all the parents, educators, and students that make this work possible," end quote. Read the full story in Capital Confidential. State Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagost announced October 10th new operational requirements for the S.A. Dunn landfill in Rensselaer. The new requirements were developed, and I quote, "in response to community input and the DEC's ongoing daily monitoring and inspections," end quote. Sago said in a written statement, and I quote, "DEC's top priority is ensuring that residents, as well as students, faculty, and staff at the Rensselaer City School campus are not exposed to any potential health or safety hazards from the operations at the Dunn facility," end quote. The owners of the Dunn facility must take action in order to continue operating. The new requirements include installing and operating a robust gas collection system, covering disposed waste daily, constructing a berm before the construction of a new waste cell, and establishing a hotline to report complaints. The complaint hotline is now operational at 518-292-0449. The 99-acre S.A. Dunn landfill is the largest construction and demolition debris dump in the state, and neighbors have complained of the heavy truck traffic it generated on residential streets and the odor and dust spread by the dump to surrounding areas. Read the full press release at the DEC website. The Daily Freeman is reporting the New York State Assembly Session internship program is in its 49th year, providing college students with an immersive experience in the state legislature. The program gives students the chance to work in the state assembly, both in the office meeting advocates and consultants, as well as observing session. Interns complete an orientation, engage in discussion groups, author a major research paper, and play a part in the Assembly Intern Committee's annual student assembly session. The program is open for full-time students in their junior or senior year of college. Interns are given a stipend and a full semester's credit for their participation. The deadline for undergraduate applications is November 1st. For SUNY Albany, the deadline is October 18th. Information is available at nyassembly.gov/internship. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
I think it's important that the candidates make it clear that they view the issues impacting LGBTQ people as seriously and as important as every other issue facing this country. You know, so that's everything from workplace protections to banning conversion therapy to really leading on addressing the epidemic of hate and violence against transgender people, particularly transgender women of color.
That was Seek Stokes, Chief Programs Officer of DC-based GLAAD. Tonight, CNN is hosting a five-hour-long event where 9 Democratic presidential candidates will speak to LGBTQ issues, just days after the Supreme Court heard arguments in 3 cases about whether federal law protects the LGBTQ community from workplace discrimination.
The bottom line is that we shouldn't have to be coming to the Supreme Court every couple of years to debate our dignity.
More on that in a minute. Turkish forces launched airstrikes in northeastern Syria yesterday, prompting bipartisan opposition to President Donald Trump's decision to pull troops out of the area, from 2020 Democratic hopefuls as well as congressional Republicans. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham said that the Trump administration has, quote, shamelessly abandoned, unquote, Kurdish allies. And former Vice President Joe Biden made his strongest attack on the president yet, for the first time calling for Trump to be impeached at a town hall in New Hampshire.
This is not hyperbole. It's a fact. No president in American history has ever dared to engage in such unimaginable behavior. With his words and his actions, President Trump has indicted himself by obstructing justice, refusing to comply with the congressional inquiry. He's already convicted himself. In full view of the world and the American people, Donald Trump has violated his oath of office, betrayed this nation, and committed impeachable acts.
Back to the Supreme Court, these 3 cases will be the first regarding the LGBTQ community since Justice Anthony Kennedy retired. Kennedy was the swing vote on marriage equality in 2015. During arguments this week, Trump appointed Justice Neil Gorsuch aligned with conservatives when he questioned whether the court should take into account potential, quote, massive social upheaval, unquote, if they were to rule in favor of LGBTQ employees. But he was also the only conservative to argue that the language of the law made the case, quote, very close, unquote. Here's Stokes again.
The train of progress toward full equality and acceptance can be put in reverse if the wrong people are elected, particularly to the presidency with the power to appoint justices to this court. Not only are we ready to fight this out at the Supreme Court, but we're ready to fight it out at the ballot box in 2020.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.